I don't remember what I said when we ranked this franchise, but now I'm confident this is the absolute worst one. It's Halloween Resurrection. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes. That is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in!
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's fine program. Thank you for tuning in, as always.
How are you?
This is if you're not hip, this episode is part of the Halloween Spooktacular that we do every year. Mm. Hence the different theme song.
Oh, really?
That I've heard a lot of people enjoy listening to. This is Halloween Resurrection from 2002. Directed by Rick Rosenthal, who also directed Halloween 2.
Which was a shocker for me when I looked up on the IMDb Tribune. Uh-huh. My hat flew off my head because I recollect liking Halloween 2.
So do I.
Yeah.
By the way, we're not talking about the Robert Zombie Hellbilly Halloween 2. We're talking about the original Halloween.
1980, I think it came out.
And it's like really well shot and like it's really well paced as compared to this.
Can I break in with a plug for something called the WHM Wiki? Which is where I'm going to tell you what you did rank the Halloween episode as. Lord.
Wait, now, what is the WHM Wiki?
It is something...
it's something we don't run. So
it's something we do not
is.
Run at all. No,
this is fan-generated.
Fan-generated. It's got a bunch of fun stuff, like running jokes. It'll tell you how many running jokes and all sorts of good stuff.
I think they also list like impressions and episodes, et cetera.
Yes. So it's actually crazed kind of, dedication.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's actually a resource for other crazy
it's good.
People.
Now here I am. I'm a crazed person.
You are.
Everybody, we did this... Halloween ranking thing 3 years ago or something like that. And
last year we did Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And this year we're doing nothing.
That's right.
I'm getting married this year. It's kind of everyone's a little busy.
You know what, gang? We're busy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Halloween Resurrection. Andrew had it at 7 out
fuck
of 10.
Me.
Oh, you love this movie.
Chris?
You love this movie. You kiss this movie every night. Oh, Andrew sleeps with the Blu-ray disc in his bed.
Chris ranked it 9.
Out of what, by the way? How many movies
ten.
Are we talking about?
9 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Which is badness, not goodness. 9 out of 10 sounds great.
Right.
Eric gave it 8 out of 10. And Steven Sadak, the world's greatest genius, might have given it 10 out of 10. Just at a
good
worst. Might have ranked it the worst.
Mm, yeah.
Wow.
What did I put under this?
What do you mean?
What was your number 10?
Your number
10? Yeah, I'm curious at the time what I thought was worse than this because, my God, this movie fucking stinks.
Chris might have been being a contrarian and put Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers at number 10.
For a second, I thought Andrew it was Halloween number one.
Andrew put Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers at number 10.
I was wrong.
And then Eric said Halloween, the remake was number 10.
Yes, I hate the Hellbilly version.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And by the way, we should say we're doing this now because the David Gordon Green film comes out this Friday. And guess what, gang? It fucking rules. So go see it. Big hard plug for that.
It should be Halloween 12, but I guess we'll just leave it alone.
Wow. Why do you keep bringing this to
counselor,
the floor?
Counselor, I would like to motion for Senator Sadak to be impeached. He has introduced the same darn bill every week.
I can't get a vote. I cannot get a vote.
Well,
that's
this
my
is
problem.
Even,
remove this,
this
man from the
you
floor.
You don't have the numbers and you know it.
This is worse than usual because, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, I haven't seen the new Halloween yet, but you have. It disregards these sequels.
Every single sequel, even Rick Rosenthal's part two.
It's just one. One and the new one.
Yep.
So it should be Halloween 2.
And it's also the it's also the third movie in 30 years to be called Halloween, by the way.
Also that.
Starring Michael Myers. So just an FYI.
Starring Michael Myers as himself.
You bring me a bill that I can read and understand, and then maybe we get somewhere with
this. Just give me a number.
Clearly your bill has been written by Big Movie, by the way.
Well, also, H2O is a bunch of horse shit. 20 years later, what the fuck does that mean?
It means nothing.
It's about water.
I honestly remember it very clearly because I was a dumb kid. The internet didn't really exist that much. It existed, but I
came out in like 98. You're talking about H2O, 98.
Yes, I wasn't like, I literally walked into that movie like, oh, wow, it's a 20th Halloween movie. Amazing.
Oh, see?
What an achievement.
Why, this is why you want to do this fucking legislation.
For people like me.
It's because of the shame you carry
exactly,
for your whole life.
For being a fool.
That you dude, if it was Halloween H2O, but it was like Michael Myers on a cruise ship, or like he's on, yes, he's at the beach, mm-hmm,
definitely.
Or Michael Myers is just made of water. You cut him, water starts popping out.
Fuck yeah, dude! Mm-hmm. Oh, he's just a walking water balloon. Pretty cool. So this movie, yes, it's 3 years after Halloween H2O. Everybody made a big deal about H2O.
Mm-hmm. Well, because Bruce Davidson from X-Men is the main star of it.
Oh, that gushy little mutant.
He can't even walk down the street in America.
Everyone made a big deal about H2O because it was like Jamie Lee Curtis returned to do this movie.
Is this right after that?
This was what came right after. So 3 years later, this movie comes out.
98, 2001. You could definitely tell the first one was made in the 90s and this one was made in the early aughts.
Yeah, the aughts was a terrible time to be alive. And I've been looking back at the culture of that era. Sure. Like I recently watched Dude, Where's My Car for no reason whatsoever.
Wow.
We needed that war, dude. We needed we needed the attack. We needed a clean slate. We needed to... I'm sorry. I mean, this is terrible. I wish it didn't happen, but it kind of... I don't know.
I'm with Eric on this. Dude, Where's My Car? Have you watched that fucking thing?
I saw it in theaters.
Oh, never dude, have. If you I'm hear, sure I will soon
if
enough.
If you want to hear Ashton Kutcher yell...
gay slurs.
Yes, homophobic remarks. That's your movie.
That's your resource for those audio bites.
Sick.
That's a Mike Pence Saturday night right there.
Mother, we're watching Dude, Where's My Car again.
I wish I was a vampire.
What does my horrible legislation say? Oh, it says sweet? What does yours say? Oh, it says dude. Sweet dude. Do you remember that scene in that movie?
I do. Yes, I do remember
they,
that.
They had tattoos
the
on each other's
tattoos
backs.
Tattoos that say dude and sweet, yes.
Mother, there's a curse word in this. You better bring out the hot milk.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
I'm going to punish myself with hot milk. No, it's scalding milk. He's going to burn his little non-existent lips on it.
So this is right after that movie was a sensation. It was a pretty big deal.
It was a big deal. It was a big hit.
Dude, Where's My Car?
No, Halloween H2O. Oh, okay. Although I think Dude, Where's My Car kind of did all right in the video market.
I don't know how they didn't make a sequel to this movie that was like just a sequel to that movie. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, because I think they couldn't get her. Yeah. And the whole thing was she was contractually obligated to do like this one bit.
Yeah.
And like, first of all, anytime you hear like contradicting movie things,
yeah,
especially in this instance, I'm going with Jamie Lee Curtis 10 times out of 10. Exactly. I believe Jamie Lee, and she was like, this movie fucking sucks ass and I thought the script was terrible and I was contractually obligated to do this cameo. And then you hear other people that are like, well, she was originally only slated to do 30 seconds, but she loved the script so much that she starred in the whole prologue. Yeah, and it's like, dude, shut up.
There's only two options there. One, Jamie Lee Curtis is illiterate, which I don't believe to be true. I believe she knows how to read.
I think that's a safe assumption.
So then it has to be a thing where she hated the script.
Yes. Absolutely. And as well she should, because it's fucking garbage. So we start in a mental institution. We are told that her character, Laurie Strode, went there after the events of H2O in where she takes an axe and cuts off what we're told in H2O is Michael Myers' head. But in order to continue this fucking sick franchise, Michael Myers apparently like switched. He did a little switcheroo with an ambulance driver.
This is what drives me nuts about this. The calculating criminal mind of Mike Myers, who was just a big lurching fucking killing machine.
Yes.
The like planning, the Kaiser Soze-ing of the fucking... like, but also, it just makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense either because I haven't seen the movie in a little bit, but I do remember like... at the end of that movie, like they show you a flashback in this movie of like in the house, he breaks this fat guy's larynx,
yeah,
and puts the mask on him, and like switches clothes or whatever. But at the end of that movie, like after the house, Michael Myers is still trying to kill her. And like, you know what I mean? Like they're fighting the whole way. Like, so why is this fat ambulance driver trying to kill Laurie Strode? As opposed to be, and it, like, I know he can't talk because his larynx is broke. Take your mask off, be a yo lady. Hi, I'm not your creepy brother.
Exactly. And if you recall from the end of that movie too, like he gets pinned between like a tree and the ambulance or something.
Yeah.
And he's like reaching out for her or whatever, and she fucking cuts his head off.
Yeah.
If you're that ambulance driver, rip that fucking mask off, dummy.
Oh, it's my brother Michael Myers. He gained 30 pounds in a 10 minutes.
That is the other thing, dude. This is a fat ambulance driver.
It happens twice in this movie. Not only is the ambulance driver fatter than him, the security guard at the mental institution, when they do it, is humongous, and fucking Michael Myers is a statue.
Yeah, it's it doesn't make... Well, I love it in this flashback. It's a literal Scooby-Doo scene where, like, they take the mask off, and it's this guy with this mustache. And it's like, Michael Myers doesn't have a mustache.
this starts with this narration. She's like, it's Jamie Lee Curtis. She's like, there's a tunnel we all go through. Mm-hmm. We walk through this tunnel. It kind of smells like farts. And at the end, there's a door. And the door creaks open. And behind that door, it also smells like farts. But that door either opens to heaven or hell, but both smell like farts. It's like, well, like, what is this narration? You might as well be talking about farts, because what is this narration?
I don't even know what she's doing in this movie. Like, I do, clearly it's a contractual obligation, but like, what are we even?
I'll tell you what she's doing. She's not taking her meds.
That's right.
She's putting all her pills in a pillow.
Yeah.
Which is like Raggedy Ann doll.
Yes.
She's doing, it's a strange tactic. It's called padding the runtime.
Oh, I see.
Because this is a strong 90. Yeah. And you could have gotten it down to an 85.
You're totally right.
This, I mean, the house subplot, or the house plot of this film, 65 tops. Really 65 tops.
30.
There's like nothing. I love the two nurses at the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. There's like a new nurse who's on the floor and whatnot. And the seasoned veteran is like, okay, now the next room we're going to is Laurie Strode's room. And she's like, oh, Laurie Strode, who's that? And this lady's like, you know who that is. Her brother was Michael Myers, blah, blah, blah. And she goes through the whole thing. And then the lady stops at one point, and she's like, actually, I'll tell you later. Let's just give her medication. And the other nurse is like, no, no, no. Tell me the entire thing right now. So she goes through the whole thing. And then she says, but remember, you better not bring it up in front of her. We can talk about it later. And so the new nurse, like the young blood, is like, okay, got it. And the woman opens the door, and this girl is like, hi, Mrs. Halloween. It's like, oh my God, lady.
Lori killed the wrong man, huh? Nice.
Can we talk about all the kids that died under your care? Can we talk about that just for the, okay.
Real quick question. What happened to your son?
Yeah. Where's that guy?
Because that's the sequel, right? Josh Hartnett
of course.
And or Michelle Williams, you know what I mean?
Like, she makes it out of that movie.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Yeah. You know, one of the two of them.
Kid from Jumanji gets it pretty hard,
he
though.
He does.
Oh, poor
good.
But like, that's good. What I need. That's what.
And how hard is it to wrangle Josh Hartnett in 2001?
Very hard. Dude, that guy was hot back then.
Is that
then.
Right? Well, that was what? Pearl Harbor.
40 Days, 40 Nights.
Oh, that movie. That's a fucking stay tuned and a half.
That's the movie where he cannot jerk off.
Yeah. And it's quite the trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really something. I think I remember one thing in that movie. He has a fantasy sequence where he's flying through a desert.
Oh, yeah.
And all the mounds are just tits. We're just flying over tits.
And it will truly be a planet of tits.
Josh can't be in the new Halloween movie. He's doing that tit movie across town.
He's doing Tit, the motion picture.
My son turned into a tit, just like Gary Oldman's son turned into a tit. And they never recovered.
Honestly, though, like, the well dried up right after that, though. So, like, Hartnett should have done this, man. Because, listen, you get involved in that, like, the world of horror.
That's
like,
the move.
If you can keep it churning, you got the fucking conventions, you got the pointless sequels, you could make it work. Look at Danielle Harris.
Hartnett's going to conventions, probably, at this
point. For what, Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
No, I think he sort of, like, famously dropped out of acting. Like, he didn't want to do it anymore. And then when he came back with that movie, Oh, Lucy... earlier this year. It was like his return, and it was a really good movie, actually.
Well, I mean, how do you... I mean, once you hit the peak of Lucky Number 11, how exactly do you follow something like that
Steve
up?
Steve and I saw that in theaters.
That was a weird
Saturday. And actually, another fucking Stay Tuned and a Half, dude, Hollywood Homicide. Oh,
literally Jesus. His entire filmography. So, like... But she is getting all these pills. She has a rag doll that she's putting her pills in, which I'm 89% sure institutions check that kind of thing.
Especially when it's just Velcro, man. Yeah. That's the easiest thing to check.
And she's also doing this thing where, like, she has to talk. People think she's catatonic.
Right.
Which I think is very hard to probably pull off. Like, you know.
I don't think you can just fake the funk with that.
I could do it.
What?
I could do it.
You've been doing it on this show for 8 years.
It's true.
I don't know. You can't just walk around like... Dude, literally not walk around, but like just pretend you're catatonic.
You guys don't see what I do at my day job at the office. Yeah. It is a completely different mask. I show no emotion. I sit at the desk.
It's like an old Captain Kirk mask that you painted white.
Yes.
Even when you read Star Wars news?
Okay. Well, you know what? Most of that news hits when I'm commuting home. So thank God for that.
The male guys training the new male guys. Like, yep. And over there, that's a... Darren Sapowski, and over there, oh, that's Eric Siska. He hasn't spoken a word in 3 years. You just give him his mail and you keep on walking. Don't let him grab your hand now.
And I take the mail and I put it into a rag doll. I didn't get any mail.
It's invoices. You're just shoving it.
Exactly.
But she's been saving all of her pills because she wants to be highly alert. Because also, like, it doesn't do a good job of letting you know it's Halloween night at this point.
No, I didn't know that. Until you just said it. Is that true?
I think it's probably true.
I mean, yes. I guess it would have to be.
Okay, you guys, there's people that go to a Halloween party in this.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
and it's all publicized that Dangertainment's doing this on Halloween night.
But is this night... This night isn't the same... Like, it's a different...
Well, it's a night much like tonight.
Well, no. It's nighttime in this prologue, yeah. But then when we cut to the setting up of Dangertainment and all that shit, it's the day.
Are you suggesting that original prologue took place on Devil's Night?
No. It might be Devil's Night.
My new favorite holiday.
Or it might be like the Halloween the year before or something. But they don't, there's no, I mean, all of these Halloween movies are famous for putting the text of the fucking date.
Yes, 7 days.
They all rip off the first one. It all happens. And this one doesn't have it, so you don't know what's going on. Yes, I know that the rest of the movie takes place on Halloween, but this prologue, I don't know.
The title is also there.
It's way too much of a Scream 3 situation where, like, you just kill off this character separate from whatever the movie actually is.
You're totally right. And that's, dude, that's no fucking surprise, dude.
Piece of shit as well.
Wikipedia says October 31st, 2001, this happens. And the next movie is, the next time is 2002. He takes a year off.
Well, because he has to fucking walk from California.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Back to Illinois or Ohio or whatever it is, Illinois.
Illinois.
Because H2O takes place in California.
So, you know, there's this fat clown guy who, like, is obsessed with serial killers.
This is the crazy person I want to be, dude. You're just walking around spouting off stats for serial killers?
It's a good move.
Kind of cool.
That's kind of like most podcast listeners, I think.
He's like kind of gives you your first like fake scare. We follow the security guard. He gets killed by Myers really quick.
Yeah,
while he's eating a Hostess cake.
Yes, the security guard, but the John Wayne Gacy obsessed guy, because he does have a clown mask and stuff, does not get killed by Myers. Myers sees an ally in this guy.
He absolutely does.
Sees the potential.
Yes,
he sees a pawn.
Yeah,
a pawn.
That's a good point, because if you got some fat lunatic running around there and you're just like Mr. Sleek jumpsuit, get away a little bit.
Again, this is the only one where I feel like he's a criminal genius. Yeah. He's thinking of it from all sides.
He should let everyone out. They should like release Arkham right here.
Nice. This mask doesn't look very good, does it?
It looks fucking awful. It looks really
What is his hair? Awful. What is his hair on this thing?
It's all like tweezed out and shit. Yeah. And obviously it's not the same mask. Like, that's the weird thing of like,
well, he's got to buy a new one every year because it gets covered in blood. It smells like shit.
Exactly. How many hardware stores is he breaking into to steal these things?
Is he ever shampooing this thing?
No,
or
dude,
like
no,
trying to know.
No,
okay.
No. I think now it's a thing where it's like they don't explicitly. I mean, I guess they kind of do. Like Michael Myers at this point in this movie is like a pop culture thing.
Yes.
Like now in the world of these films, like we'd have a fucking Netflix crime doc series on this guy or something.
Making a Myers?
Yes, we definitely would, right?
My favorite Myers.
And then they come out with the fucking bullshit second part that nobody wants. Dude, what are we doing with that?
I don't know.
Oh, Making a Murderer Part 2. Oh, is he still in jail? Oh, yes. Well, thanks for playing.
Would you like to watch 6 hours of that?
So Myers, basically he gets up, he kills a couple security guards. He gets meets up with Laurie Strode.
Yes.
She like escapes her room. She gives him the switcheroo.
The old switcheroo. I got a quick question.
She does
here.
The Ferris Bueller thing. He comes in and there's like a snore.
Oh.
There's a snoring noise.
Snoring Laurie Strode.
He's got the big tape going on.
Does he stab the bed?
Yeah, well, he does, but then he says, take a nap, take a hot bath, wrap a towel around your head, get some soup.
Then you go to Laurie Strode in the shower, making a mohawk, just having so much fun.
I love how she breaks the fourth wall all the time.
Yeah. It's crazy. It was an odd choice for this movie. My question about the one security guard, just really quickly. So, like, the one security guard stops by the vending machine to get a ho-ho or whatever. Sure. And the other dude's like, all right, I got to go get this clown guy to bring him back to his room.
Why would he choose a ho-ho over all the Doritos and different kinds of actually savory
sweet
chips?
Sweet tooth, man.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah. That's something.
People have it.
I know. I'm just saying, like, Steve, I would pick the Doritos. Get those Dorito chips.
Maybe
dude.
He just had Doritos.
Oh, that's actually true.
I'm sorry, your question.
No, so the guy is like looking for his part. He hears a scream, so he goes into the laundry room. And oh my God, there's this dude's head in the dryer. And from there, that is like the first of three or four decapitations in this movie. And my question is, what are we doing? Because he doesn't do that. Like, he's not he's not
the decapitator
Jason Voorhees in that way. Like, you he's a stabby or a strangle.
If you want to switch it up and he can't find a butcher knife, he takes like a hatchet, fine.
Sure.
Have your decapitations. But like, actually, that would be an interesting way to change up the franchise, give a different weapon.
Yeah,
but
it's a pre-hatchet, too, so you can go wild.
But I see where you're going, yeah.
Yeah, and then he chops out a cherry tree, and he founds our new country, Murderland.
But no, he didn't see where he was going, actually.
First of all, this country is called Murderland. second of all, it's a pretty dull butcher knife. I don't think it's even physically possible.
I don't know how you're getting through that fucking spine. It just makes no sense.
I guess you're doing like kind of a halvesy, and then you get your... You get the
he's brilliant, dude. He's counting cartilage and where the bone meets. It's just like
it's just out of character for this serial killer to all of a sudden in the fucking ninth movie or whatever it is, eighth movie, start just fucking cutting heads off.
He's just hunched over.
Yeah, I don't think the filmmakers understood how hard it is to decapitate a person.
All right, you know what? I don't usually talk, but now I'm talking. How hard is this? How hard? Can somebody get me something?
It's like twisting it. Oh my God!
Take forever. So anyway, sorry. They're up on the roof.
The cops come. I heard someone complaining down here.
I love this roof sequence because it's like Michael Myers steps onto the board game Mousetrap.
Dude, you stole the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what this is. He gets scooped up in a little like rope trap.
A leg noose. Like, what is this?
And she's had all this equipment up there. They make mention of like, oh yeah, she's on suicide watch. We keep finding her up on the roof because clearly she's been...
Michael loves cheese. Put the cheese in the blanc.
Oh, and the laundry basket's going to fall on him.
Oh no, she left a picnic basket out there.
Oh, yeah. Don't wake Dad.
That Don't Wake Daddy game is fucking weird.
It sounds weird. I never played it myself.
It's like you have an abusive father. Don't you? You better fucking be quiet.
That's what it is. It's like you better be quiet, or this dude's gonna wake up and start hitting us.
There are like 3,000 pornos called that. That's why you shouldn't be calling your fucking game that.
Do they wake him up in the porno, dude?
I don't know.
And then he enacts his revenge.
So he's upside down, held by his own leg, and you know, she's like, here it is, Michael, we're all going to hell tonight. And she's ready to kill him. Or she's ready, and here's the thing. She thinks she's just gonna drop him off this roof, and that's gonna be that. Like, this dude has been like Superman.
Yeah.
He's been shot a million times. Yeah. He's a Rasputin. You know, he's not dropping him from a building is not going to kill him.
Yeah. But then she has like it's this, and I didn't notice it until this time watching. I've seen this movie a couple times. It's like, oh, you know, the last time I tried to kill him, I accidentally killed this other guy.
Yeah.
So, don't want to make the same mistake twice. Now I have to see that it's him.
Maybe she was like, all right, I'm going to cut this rope. And because she's been like planning for so long, she cuts the rope. He falls into a box that has a bunch of spikes in it.
Yeah. Oh.
Then you go down, you run downstairs really quick. He's impaled on all the spikes. You close the box. You put a lock on the box.
Yeah.
Then you put grenades in the box. That is the Michael Myers ending.
You're going way overboard. All you have to do is burn him till he's ash. That's all you have to set him on fire, and he's nothing.
No, he gets set on fire in part two.
We're going to put Michael Myers for him to be in nothing. A lockbox.
How big is this lockbox?
No, it's
question.
Like, you know, she gets it from like a magician store. You know
or
what
like
I mean?
A torture factory.
A big and tall magician store?
Listen, the first. Okay. Movie opens.
Halloween store. Resurrection.
Pans down to a magician store. Oh, what's this? What's going on here?
You're intrigued, and, aren't
right?
you?
Exactly. Yeah. It's something different. She buys the block box.
Yeah, like a David Copperfield thing. It's right. on wheels already, probably.
Oh, sure.
Right. She gets the hatchet for the hatch someone in half trick.
Oh, see that box you're looking at there? Looks like you're peeping the Tower of London model.
Oh, you're calling from a mental institution. Oh, okay, that's the fifth one we got this week.
Sure, we deliver there.
All right, so yeah, what are you talking about? What's the dimensions of your assistant? 6'4", 280. Hold, that's got to be a problem.
Oh, sounds like a custom job there, pal.
can't even fit you in the 02 David Copperfield just got it in, by the way. Very nice.
We call that the Andre.
Now, we got something. If you had something like a 5'4" petite lady, I got oodles of stuff. I got clearance racks.
Lady, normally magicians just put tiny girls in boxes. Don't know what you're planning here, but sounds interesting.
This is like an Adams Family situation, or what are we doing here?
Okay, just came in special order. We're calling it the beef box.
Oh, man, I want to die in the beef box, dude.
Come down, pick it up. You need a forklift.
Do you got a truck? You're going to need a truck.
It's either for Michael Myers or Rush Limbaugh. Either or.
Oh, I'd love to stuff that fat fuck in a beef box.
So it does not happen because, like Andrew was getting at before we went on the stupid tangent, she was worried.
You mean great tangent, by the way.
She was worried about, oh my God, what if it's another fat guy with a mustache under this mask?
Also because the one nurse is like, yeah, she killed the wrong guy. Father of three. I was like, come on.
Listen, we got to stop acting like fathers are more important than other people.
That's
honestly,
actually true.
You know?
She killed the wrong person.
Oh, you know the guy she killed? You can believe how bad this girl is? She killed some guy who came in a girl and then made a baby. You believe it? The guy had sex.
Three times.
He had sex at least three times. She killed him.
She killed a guy who had sex at least three times. What a tragedy.
Exactly.
So,
anyway.
But yeah, she goes up there and whoops. When she gets there, he grabs her. And now they're both hanging, and
the rope breaks.
The rope, yeah, so the rope breaks. Like they're both hanging from like a ledge or something.
Yeah,
and like Michael's about to chuck her off the roof, and she kisses him really quick, and she does say, "I'll see you in hell," and jumps, which is, I think, a pretty good ending.
She doesn't jump.
Where he throws her.
He stabs her in the back.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And then she does the kiss, yeah. Which is just, what are we even talking
about? It's stupid,
about?
But I do love, honestly, your last words of this mortal coil being, I'll see you in hell, is always a pretty good move.
Yes. I appreciate a good I'll see you in hell.
I'm planning on doing that just whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever I'm doing when I'm dead, whoever happens to be there, my lovely wife, no. I'll see you in hell.
Because you know, Cabin, that's where you're going.
Yes.
Yeah,
so it's like, if I see you there, I see you there.
And I honestly expect everybody to be there.
Or at least, you know, visitation rights.
Yeah, exactly.
You come down.
Yeah,
I
want to pre-book a little bit. Kayak that.
Yep, this is I'll See You in Hell, Northern California's premier magic shop. Bobby speaking. What kind of box you need?
Don't need a box.
We also got a chicken box now.
It's good for choking in.
Having a special this week on magic mirrors. Oh, well, she also says to him before that, are you afraid to die, Michael?
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to respond to you, lady? He hasn't fucking spoken
clearly
in 30
years. He's not afraid to die. That's been established over.
Well,
over
I've been thinking about it a lot lately. And after you're dead for 45 years or whatever it's been, you think about it a lot, Lori. And actually, no, I'm ready to go.
But I've decided to leave my jumpsuit to you in the will.
But the thing is, I don't understand why they had to go through these gymnastics about she killed the wrong guy. Like, he always comes back. Like, if this movie just started and Michael Myers came back from the last one, no one would blink an eye. Like, oh, he's back.
That's, but I think they felt the need specifically because of the decapitation. Because I remember at the time when I saw the movie, I was like, oh, fuck. Well, that no one's ever decapitated Jason.
Well, I was like, wow, what a 20th Halloween movie I just saw.
Can't wait to go back and watch the other 19.
Or it could be like that X-Files episode where the guy grows his head back.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, that would be something.
Just make him undead. That's what they did with Jason. And at the end of this movie, they kind of hint at that.
A little bit. And so he pulls himself back up. She falls down like through all these trees. You see her. It's referencing the shot from the end of the first movie. She's laying there. She's dead. Mm. He goes back downstairs. He passes by this dude. I think his name is Harold, the clown guy. And this is when Harold starts spouting off. He's like, Michael Myers, born October 9th,
1957.
There it is.
He's a boomer.
Of course he is. Look how much he's destroying people's lives. Of course he's a boomer. And, you know, he starts reeling it off. And what he does, do you recognize this, though? Did you catch this? He makes reference, Harold does, to part one, part two, and then jumps all the way to part 20.
Yeah.
So this movie deemed it necessary to cut out 4, 5, and 6.
The Halloween H2O does as well. It just basically...
Oh, does it? Assumes, I didn't remember.
It assumes Jamie doesn't exist.
Oh, because that's a fucking bad rub for Danielle Harris, man. Your character's just written out of this franchise. She starred in, or at least two sequels.
Well, by the way, that now makes it three continuities she's been written out of, because she's written out of this continuity. She was written out of the zombie continuity, and now she's written out of the new continuity that in this new movie.
That's wow. Yeah. God damn.
I would love it if somebody referenced number three and just like randomly and like, don't you remember in that far off town, toy maker who killed half the population?
This isn't any spoilers or anything, but in the David Gordon Green movie, you see there's a couple shots of kids have silver shamrock masks.
Ooh. That's fun.
It was kind of cute. Little nod.
But he does, on his way out, he kind of gives, it's like that famous football commercial where the guy gives the other kid the towel.
Oh, Mean Joe Green?
Yeah, he gives the guy the knife, like, here, kid.
And he even flips it around. He gives it to him handle first. Love it.
So is this, to Chris's point, is this an ingenious trick? Like, now he's going to pin the whole thing on this guy? Or is it more like, you know what, kid? A little something for the fans. You take that. You tell him Mike gave it to you.
I think it might be. It's pinning it on this Harold guy because there's no element in this movie of, because there's no Loomis character. So there's no like Michael Myers is back. There's none of that in this movie. So like I think it might have been a thing where it's like, yeah, take it, dummy. Yeah, here you go. Here's this
get your hand all over that.
Harold didn't give him a Coke or anything. So
But we are told throughout this entire opening sequence that we've been talking about for 35 minutes that there's like security cameras everywhere.
Okay.
So I think it'd be kind of hard to pin it on poor Harold. But nonetheless, we move. I guess
that's the end of the movie credits. Yeah. Wow, what a movie that was.
What a short fucking Halloween fan film that you convinced Jamie Lee to be a part
Instead,
of.
Instead, we go to Haddonfield University,
which is mentioned in part 6, funny enough.
Oh.
Was Loomis just doing like community classes there or what?
Now I'm teaching. I'm teaching Serial Killers 101.
The days of Loose Loomis are gone.
They're behind me. I've settled down and now I'm just an academic.
I've said too many fucks in my life, children.
And we're just introduced to this character, Sarah. She's now, I guess, the lead protagonist. And it's another just bullshit like... A teacher is reeling off something and the students are kind of paying attention.
Yeah.
This movie does jam pack a lot of like refs to the other movies. And this is very similar to that. But she's like a psych major or something.
Bianca Kylik is her name.
Yeah. And she goes to Haddonfield University. She's got a bunch of friends. And the whole thing is like, this group of people, Katie Sackhoff, Starbuck is her like best bud or whatever. They've been entered in this television. It's a webcam show,
reality something or other. Basically, I mean, it's MTV Sphere essentially. Like basically,
yes, right. Yeah.
And the weird thing is like there's so many ways to make this movie better. I mean, like if you didn't have that intro thing. Just make this a found footage movie. Like, honestly, like, if it was found footage Michael Myers, it would age probably poorly, but it would at least be, like, kind of...
Well, but not counting Blair Witch, which was, like, the OG found footage in a way, because that was, like, 97.
Yeah.
Were we in 2001, were we in the found footage craze?
I mean, that's what that MTV Sphere was. It was all kind of, like, you know, that's what they had cameras on them. Was to sort of mimic Blair Witch.
I'm with Steve on this because I would have never watched this movie if that was true. And so I'm all for this.
Actually, I think it maybe could actually make it better. What you do is you do it like security cameras to start.
Yeah. Oh, I like you this.
It's just fly on the wall instead of just someone walking around with a camera.
Horror verite, dude.
Exactly, because in the house, they eventually position a bunch of cameras. There are cameras on
body
the
cams.
Participants, yes, but there's also cameras in corners of the rooms and stuff. I think it would be kind of cool just to see like him killing in the asylum with security cam footage.
Right.
And then you have to figure out a way to get him to the house, but whatever.
I mean, you don't see him get to the house. Like it's literally just like, oh, here we are in the old Myers place. Hope Michael Myers doesn't show up. EP does.
Right.
That's a movie.
My question, though, was were there movies that were like,
oh,
this tape is the only thing that's like were those movies?
Aside from Blair Witch, which was the
right, but that's what I'm trying to rack my brain to figure out. What was the one that like did that, but then set off?
Because
that
would make it normal. Wasn't it Paranormal?
It was probably Paranormal Activity.
It would have had to be.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, anyway, you're right. It's a better idea.
It's
and
a little
I would
more
watch
intimate
that.
Because like this movie like kind of like putters around for a bit. We meet all these kids. It's Bianca. It's Katie Sackhoff from Star. And you got Thomas Ian Nichols of Rookie of the Year and American Pie fame.
Yep, he's in this. He's the rapiest of them all. This kid is a fucking
Rosenbruder.
Rosenberger. Stop harassing these women, Rosenberger.
And also, Sean Patrick Thomas, for some reason, gets it a credit, a special appearance by Sean Patrick Thomas, like he was Marlon fucking Brando.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because of all of these people, motherfucker had the best agent of the bunch.
I guess so.
Because what? Listen, it's an appearance. Just like everybody else appeared in this film. There's nothing special about it.
I am honestly surprised they didn't say, save the last dances and his name. They could have done the full one if they wanted.
Because that's it. Like, that was a pretty big movie for the time, but come on. Like,
what are we even talking about?
Special appearance, Tyra Banks, maybe. Like, you know what I mean?
Or
like,
special appearance, Busta Bust, dude. Well,
he gets first fucking billing.
Yeah.
Tyra would be the move because she's not in this a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
So that's right. Like a special appearance. Sean Patrick Thomas is just one of the kids in the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, well, it's like Katie Sackhoff and him are friends with Sarah. Then there's Thomas Ian Nichols is the rapey guy. There's some like scumbag arty guy.
He's from Rectify. He's the lawyer from Rectify. That's the only thing I know.
Oh,
from
wow. Really?
Yeah. And then there's like a brainy girl as well.
She has the unfortunate.
The critic.
She has the unfortunate last name of McCracken. This actress's name is Daisy McCracken as Donna.
Yeah, that's
McCracken.
Right. That's. Bill Murray in, what was that bowling movie?
Kingpin.
Yeah, Kingpin.
Oh, that's right.
Ernie McCracken.
Yeah. This woman, Ms. McCracken, was in 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Stay tuned and a half.
Busta Rhymes is running. It's a web show. It's not on television.
No, not at all.
It's a web thing.
Right, so update your Real Player.
Listen, 2001, that's what we're dealing with.
It was not even really possible. Like, it was
tough. I remember
it was tough.
even seeing it in the theater at the time, I was like, how is this working? How cool of an internet connection do they have?
If you were downloading it from LimeWire and it was going at a good clip, you could probably stream it at the same time.
Sure.
But I don't know the website you go to
do
this.
The quality of these things, like, there's no lagging at all. Like, the cameras go out sometimes, but it's got nothing to do with the internet connection. It's got everything to do with, like, a fucking body fell on it or something.
Remember that documentary, We Live in Public?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that was really great.
Yes.
So
that's a big recommend, actually.
Yeah, and that's, like, mid-late 90s, like, webcam shit. But it looks like garbage. Mm-hmm. As it should.
And Michael Myers is only in a little bit.
Only in a little bit.
Yes. In the club scene.
No. I like this. Is great for this art installation. This guy just standing there. I love it.
What if that's what Michael Myers does on his, like, the other 11 months? He's a great artist. He's just a quiet painter, you know?
Oh,
what I mean?
Landscapes mostly.
Thomas Kincaid type of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Little cottages.
He's sitting across from Marina Abramovic.
Yeah, exactly. And then every Halloween, he's like, oh, fuck, gotta put the boots on again.
Mm-hmm. This is how I make my money so I can do the dream job. It doesn't pay off. I gotta do the thing that everybody expects me to do. And then I can do the stuff that I love the other 11 months.
He's just walking around that party in Midnight Cowboy.
Makes perfect sense.
Can I take your mask?
So Busta Rhymes is running Dangertainment.
Oh,
understanding it is.
Wow.
I realized.
See, if it was going to be that, you should have gotten Mystical.
Why?
Danger.
Oh, shit. You're right. Thank you for the reminder. I realized when I saw this movie for the first time that it's very entertaining to hear Busta Rhymes say two expressions. Aw shit and motherfuck. Like, the delivery on these two is
good.
Fabulous.
I don't know what the push for Busta Rhymes was. Like, if it's the Busta Rhymes movie, make it the Busta Rhymes movie. Because, like, he's in this first scene, and then he's in the last 40 minutes, and it's really the Busta Rhymes movie. But, like, there's a big chunk in the middle, and
show to produce.
I guess
What was the movie recently? He played the older brother to somebody, and he was really good in it. Because I was like, otherwise...
Call Me By Your Name? Or?
Yeah. He's in Italy. It's just a nice time.
Call Me By Your Name, and I'll call you by mine. Oh, shit!
I mean, like, he was, like, okay in Narc.
Yeah.
But they were pushing him for a while.
I mean, he's not a bad actor at all.
No, not at all.
We meet everybody. We're about to go to the thing. We watch Busta Rhymes in his hotel room watching kung fu movies. Very important, gang.
Yes. Yeah.
Holy shit. Not only is he watching kung fu movies, he's narrating his life at all times when no one is around him. He is just narrating his own life.
It's awesome because he's like, he's doing that and he's watching it. And he's like, oh yeah, like, look at this dude. This dude's whooping these guys' asses. Yeah, all while he's smoking a cigarette. And I was like, I know, I'm watching the clip along with you.
Yeah,
thank
and
you.
Then he's like, oh, wait, someone's knocking on the door. Who's knocking on the door on this hour? And I'm watching these whoop-ass movies.
Dude, he is...
Guess I gotta get there. I'm gonna move my left foot. I'm gonna move my right now. Oh God,
now
left one again.
Now
right
I'm
one.
Fully walking to the door.
I'm gonna put my eye up to the peephole. I'm gonna ask who's there.
I'm feeling like I have to piss. I'm gonna take a piss. I'm gonna walk over to the bathroom and piss into a toilet.
And it's
better flush that toilet.
Oop! Forgot to say that I was gonna unzip my fly, so now I just pissed my pants.
Then we're gonna go do a turnabout and wash the hands. Forgot that too.
Washing the hands, a little soap there. No, we gotta go back. I didn't say I was turning off the faucet. Now I'm turning off the faucet.
Oh, I'm already out of the bathroom. I forgot to say I was drying my hands. I guess I'll just say now I'm wiping my hands on my pants.
I'm thinking.
But that'd be the best of it, because it's Sarah, and she's like, oh, I don't know if I could do this. And she's like, I'm not like everybody else. He goes, like, I know you're not like everybody else. You're the final girl. I was like, yeah, I'm the final girl, so I have to blah, blah, blah. And, like, I mean, she doesn't really have clear motivation one way or another, because she's a pretty bad character.
She literally doesn't want to be there. Like, it's Katie Sackhoff's idea.
Yes.
She's like, let's go. It's like only the two of them, I think, are friends.
No, Sean Patrick Thomas is a third friend, because he's just in this movie, everybody.
And he's also, this is an obnoxious thing, he's like a dietitian major or something. Because he's just, like, criticizing everything that everybody's eating the whole time, like a cop in a bad 80s movie.
Not only that, like, in the interview where they're auditioning people, he's talking about, like, Hitler was malnourished and that's why he was, like, mean or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh, right. He basically says that Hitler was a genocidal madman because he was a vegetarian.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That was
sure.
The best part of Showa was when they get into that.
Michael Myers is only in that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah,
no. Oh, actually, also that because that's sort of like their audition scene or orientation or whatever. This is really stupid. Like a light, they're like filming the testimonials or whatever. Yeah. They're like, "Why do you want to do this and stuff?" A set lamp falls behind Sarah and she screams and like glass breaks. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Yeah. And what the fuck?
It doesn't come back at all.
She's a scream queen.
What is
now.
She like Banshee from X-Men? Is she gonna scream at Michael Myers and push him out the door?
I feel like it should have came back some way.
Yes,
like,
of course
that scream, should've. And then he like the one time ever something phases him, he can grab his masked ears and go.
Oh no! Like he's like Venom, and that's like the sonic thing.
Yes.
That makes the mask pop off.
Well, he does. Did you notice that? Not to belabor talking about this prologue anymore.
Don't
already
belabor
had.
It.
But when she is cutting the rope that he's hanging from, did you notice he starts like grabbing his head?
Oh no.
And I was like, like he puts his hands over his ears. What
I think
is that?
He's trying to trick her into taking off the mask. It's like he's pretending he's trying
to
take off the mask.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, Michael Myers is a terrible actor.
He's like, I could be a guy and I don't know. You don't know who I am.
I'm finally gonna find out what my brother looks like.
I thought he was just doing like, ow, my freaking ears.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind.
But she goes into Busta Rhymes, she's like, I don't know if I want to do this, blah blah blah. And Busta Rhymes is like,
now I'm listening.
Now I'm listening to you. And he's like, no, don't worry, you should do it, I said. And no, but it's weird because like this thing, the thing that what they're doing is they're going to the Myers estate on Halloween night. And the idea is they have to be there all night and they have to find out why he did it.
What are you even talking about?
And it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, and the last one to stay in the house gets $10,000.
Exactly.
That's the thing. The person who gets the most freaked out loses, you know, or
there
whatever.
There is no goal to whatever this game is. And I'm sorry, like, what you're... To get ahead a little bit, just a little bit of a spoiler alert, Busta Rhymes has, like, put a bunch of fake shit in the house to make it, like, spooky scary. But, like... What is the end result? What does Busta Rhymes think the end result is going to be?
He's making a pilot. That's what his plan. Yeah. That's to me is what this whole thing. Okay.
But this is being broadcast on the internet. Like this is for an audience.
Yeah, so, but there it's coming up. You know, there's people who are watching it.
But again, like there needs to be like a shape to the thing. You know what I mean? Like it's
the shape.
There needs to be the shape to show up.
But it's just a weird like. Yeah, Busta Rhymes has to stipulate, like Steve said, like you have to stay in here all night. If you get freaked out, you lose. And everybody who stays the whole night gets $10,000 or something like that. But instead, it's like, find out why he did it. What the fuck are you talking about? The greatest scientific minds of the last 20 years couldn't figure it out.
The greatest scientific minds of the last 20 years?
Dude, yes. Dr. Loomis. Yeah.
No.
That perverted DJ?
That's right. I'm going to figure out why this boy killed all those people and also look at some rad tittage.
Oh, I failed miserably, haven't I? Oh, boy.
Not at the tittage, I didn't.
But the thing is, this whole franchise loses everything that Loomis is gone.
Yes.
And like,
And
you tried to make like Laurie Strode like the new Loomis. And now without that, you've got Busta Rhymes. So now those struck out. It's Busta Rhymes.
You got Busta Rhymes watching some old kung fu movie.
Because that's something that all the movies have in common is that it is about him and like where he comes from and his
chasing
mythology.
Him, yeah.
This it's just like, okay, he's there. He's killing people, but whatever.
Sarah's supposed to be a psych major. She should be the Loomis stand-in doing like a penny to... Buster Rhymes' Inspector Gadget, correct.
Oh my God, Buster Rhymes as Inspector Gadget? Fuck you, French Stewart. Eat shit. I want to watch Buster Rhymes.
Seriously, right? It would be better.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if Inspector Gadget just yelled out, oh shit? It would be fucking great.
Or he's woo-ha! You know, that's... Not a woo-ha in this one.
No, nothing. A couple of fucking hi-yahs when he's doing kung fu later, which let me tell you don't see it coming out of his mouth. That is ADR hi-yah, and you can fucking keep it.
Nobody puts their hands where his eyes can see. It's just terrible.
So they get to the fucking house, and Busta Rhymes is like, all right, everybody, I will see you guys tomorrow. One of the camera guy gets killed by Michael Myers. Tyra Banks is like Busta Rhymes is like sidekick slash maybe girlfriend, maybe not.
I think she's like a co-investor in Dangertainment or something.
Yeah.
Because there's a part where like the and the games begin kind of a thing. And they're like they're in a Tyra Banks like little. They've set up like a control room, which is in like a shed, next to the house, and they're like cheering with like glasses of red wine, you know, like to Dangertainment or whatever, and it's like, what are you doing here?
Are they supposed to be boyfriend girlfriend? That's what I thought.
It's unclear.
They seem to be.
Yeah, yeah, they're pretty chummy. My favorite part of the whole movie is Tyra Banks is telling some like doughy camera dude to set up a shot, and while he's doing that, she's making herself like a latte.
It's disgusting.
And she's like dancing
around.
This is like
a full frappuccino, man. We are right in 2002.
Dude, yeah, we are making a specialty coffee drink that is topped with not just a huge thing of whipped cream, but she gets like a sugar daddy candy bar and like dumps it in it. I was like, what a... God damn it.
And
I'm getting diabetes just looking at that.
She's just having the best time of her life while this guy gets impaled by his own equipment.
It's so funny. This dude, they're doing like a full-on fucking
Peeping Tom.
Peeping Tom reference here, which is pretty great.
Where did you get this fucking tripod with the knife at the end of it?
Yeah, I don't know. That dude brought it from home, man.
From the estate sale of that movie that happened fucking 40 years ago?
Really great movie, by the way.
It's great. Yeah, dude, what Peeping are we Tom. Talking about with that? And like, oh, that dude has a fucking horrendous line too, because he's talking about like, Tyra Banks is like, just fucking shut up and set up these cameras. And he's like, high angles are scary. Low angles are scary. Medium angles are not scary. Yeah. And she's like, fuck you, do your job. He's like, I went to the same film school, Steven Spielberg, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you're working on fucking Real Player, the television show, buddy.
And as much as this stuff is of the time, some things never change. They fucking strap their camera to her ass.
Oh my God.
Of this fucking dance thing.
Big Lord time. Almighty, do they ever.
That's something. And yeah, she's just listening to like early aughts R&B, making this drink while this doughy dude gets murdered. By the way, we cannot lose track of one of the creepier parts of this movie, that weird fucking high school freshman that's catfishing Sarah via chat rooms.
Oh, I love this.
Who never comes in contact with the rest of the movie. What a pointless. You want to talk about padding shit.
I have to ask Eric this.
Yes.
Were any of your usernames ever Deckard?
No. I wasn't as obsessed with Blade Runner as I might be today. But it's a shame. So no, this is not based on me.
I was wondering. I was just wondering a little bit.
6969.
Yes, exactly.
Like we cut to this dude and his
buddy, his buddy's like laying in on him because he wants to stay home and watch this webcam series that his internet girlfriend Sarah's gonna be on.
And this dude's like, buddy, you're a fucking loser.
No, man, it's Mickey Stern's party tonight.
And that's when I was like, oh my God, Mickey Stern? Well, of course you gotta go.
But it's they're college freshmen, not high school freshmen.
Oh, I thought they were high school freshmen.
Because I think they're in a dorm at this first scene, right?
Yeah, that's a dorm.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, oh, yeah, we got invited. No freshman's ever been invited to this party. And he's like, well, yeah, that's because your sister got us in or something. And I'm like, you guys aren't characters. The movie is like miles away from you.
Yeah, no,
literally and figuratively.
Need to come in contact with Michael Myers or else they should not be in this film.
Like, well, that's what I didn't understand. Like, are these guys matriculated at Haddonfield U? Yeah. Are they in the Haddonfield U dorms, or is this guy in like fucking Nevada?
Great question. We do not know. I think he's in Area 51. But it would if he was at Haddonfield U, you'd think that he would have met up with this girl.
Yes.
Yeah. But and like, and then know. Ran to the house to like save her. I was misremembering this movie. I was like, oh yeah, here's this kid who like sees the webcam and then runs to the house.
That would make sense.
Nope.
Well, that would be great if like you built a character out of this kid where he does go to the same school as her and he knows who she is and he sees her, but he's just too nervous. He's, you know, he's scared, so
too
he
creepy,
doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, but like, no, nothing like that happened. But he also like represents like that whole gang at the party, it's like the audience. That's what you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Usually, that character or those characters are in the action.
Yeah.
They remove them completely.
No one leaves Mickey Stern's birthday party. I mean, or Halloween party. I think that's how fucking sick this party is, dude.
You expect it to converge and somebody's like, wasn't that right next door? And then like Michael Myers throws somebody through the thing and now we're doing something.
Yes.
Now we're making
like
a movie.
That.
Well, it's like if there was... In Empire Strikes Back, if the whole movie, like, you keep cutting back to John Ratzenberger watching, like, a control tower, like, I don't know, Luke's been on Dagobah an awful long time.
That would be amazing.
Busta Rhymes, as the games begin right here, he's like pushing them all into the house. He has a great line. He goes, let the dangertainment begin up in this motherfucker. I was like, yes, Busta Rhymes, more of you, please. Also, here's a thing. Is this legal? Who owns this house?
Who owns this house? But the other thing that happens is what you find out very early on. All these kids go in. They lock them in. No one is allowed to leave, which I do think is illegal.
You have to
be able to leave some.
You don't have to think about it. It is. Locking a bunch of kids in a fire trap, yeah, might be a problem.
But here's the thing.
What's the permit sitch for dangertainment?
Well, Illinois law. I don't know. I think Rod Blagojevich was governor at the time.
Yeah, his famous let 'em burn bill.
Well, also, How about a good old-fashioned throw a chair through a window?
Yes.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Or try.
That's the thing.
Try.
Try, because then, you know, if it bounces off, you know, Busta Rhymes has some line like, oh, yeah, I put fucking bulletproof glass there for whatever reason. I want to watch these kids burn to the ground. But, like, there's a porch on the Myers house. You can throw the fucking chair through the window and get... What are we talking about? The door is locked.
So the kids start dying one by one. One dude,
he says, the scuzzy, like, music major guy says to the redheaded woman, you've got great legs. What time do they open?
Yeah.
And I was like, bring on Michael Myers anytime now.
Well, their whole banter thing is one of the more annoying parts of this movie. Like, it's so late 90s Kevin Williamson nonsense horseshit.
You're right.
My least favorite line in this entire movie, and maybe any movie, which is like, you're a music major. If I slept with you, that would be tantamount to lesbianism. And I'm like, the flying fuck is anyone talking about?
What does that mean?
What?
No, you can't.
It's that Kevin Williamson thing where it's like smart, quirky, quirk, and like it literally means nothing.
But at least Kevin Williamson's smart, quirky, quirk shit made sense.
Yes.
No, the whole point was that somebody said lesbianism.
And tantamount.
Tantamount's
a
big word, yeah.
Tantamount to lesbianism.
Sure.
Which is like...
On the road to, I guess. We're on the road.
He's a woman. Like, I don't. What
if you were to if you were to sleep with a male music major? You are sleeping with a woman.
But what does the music major part have to do with it? What if he majored in sculpture?
Shut up! It's because he's not a footballer.
So the first one to go is Billy. He tries to scare Katie Sackhoff. Is like the party girl who's very ill-defined.
Katie Sackhoff, you could tell, did not really have a handle on whatever they wanted this character to be.
Better movie, by the way. It's all the kids.
Here we
and
go.
You switch something out. You get another Battlestar Galactica person in there. Oh. Edward James Olmos as the old professor.
Yes.
And now it's like, come on, Michael Myers, you son of a bitch. Let's go to hell tonight. You think you're hot, motherfucker? You think you're hot, motherfucker?
Wait, this is on a webcam? That motherfucker's... His username is Deckard? I was in that goddamn movie. Move your fat ass.
And then there's the rest of the movie is just Olmos and fucking Myers going at
it. Yes! Oh, a 3-hour fight.
Everybody else leaves. It's just them.
Throwing each other through walls.
Edward James almost looks like he's wearing a mask anyway. Be two masked people fighting each other. It'd be great.
She's Michael Myers is about to kill Edward James Olmos. Like, wait, let me look and see under the mat. Wait, that's your face?
Oh, he's pulling at the mustache. Thomas Ian Nicholas is like sexually harassing Katie Sackhoff through this entire movie.
He's like, come on, flash for the camera. You'll light up 1,000 screens, baby. Yeah.
I was
an American Pie, by the way. I'm kind of always jerking off.
He's also like, you'll be famous. You know, you could become a newswoman, which is like her motivation in doing this.
Flash your fucking tits at the webcam. I had a false memory here that she fucking kicked him in the balls when that happened. Okay.
Better move.
And I was like, well, why didn't you do that? That should have been in the screenplay. Give that dude a swift kick to the nards.
And then he looks in the mirror and Myers is there. He rips him through the mirror and stabs him in the head, I believe.
Yes, it's a big head stab. But this is another, like, you're not fucking Jason Voorhees. What is with the face through the mirror? What are you doing? It's almost as if the people who wrote this thought that they were writing a Jason movie.
Yeah.
And just had no fucking understanding of, like, what the limitations of this character
Well, it's supposed to be the same your mama's Michael Myers, I think, a little bit
well,
as well.
Well, clearly with the presence of Busta Bust and the Kung Fu but, movies like, and the whoop ass, but come on.
It's not big. Like, it's not a franchise that's big on shock and surprise. You're supposed to dread him.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. He cannot be stopped, that and you see him from afar.
That first movie is all atmosphere. And the second movie, directed by Rick Rosenthal, like... Yeah. Also continues some of that dreadful atmosphere.
H2O still has that a little
bit. It absolutely
and
does.
It's not a very good movie, but it's
no,
like there.
No, but it's better than this, and it kind of understands that a little better. But yeah, wasn't that written by Kevin Williamson, actually?
Yes, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there we go.
Bet you lesbianism in that one.
So I know what you're all dying to hear. Yes, they do get to Mickey Stern's party. They decide to go as, they're dressed as Pulp Fiction. As
Jules and Vincent.
Yes.
I got to tell you, Eric Siska, this was the most surprising part of the movie for me,
yeah,
because the dude that's dressed like Jules, I was shocked he was not in blackface. I was like scanning for blackface. It's clean.
It's still not the best couple costume you could do as two white kids.
No,
sure.
But he's got the afro, and he also puts an afro pick in there. I'm like, you didn't see that movie, you motherfucker. Well, Samuel Jackson does not have an afro pick in his hair.
He also doesn't have like a fro that big. Yeah. Like this dude's wearing like a fucking undercover brother wig.
Well, it was
because of the garbage.
One of the people actually calls him out. I give that credit to this movie that somebody's like, "Are you serious with that costume?"
Oh, does somebody say that?
Somebody has a line like that.
Well, the one
I think
kid,
it's Michael Myers.
Oh,
he looks
my God.
Through the computer.
Oh, well, you know, at least you're not in blackface. So I'll give you that.
Deckard though has the line. He's like to the buddy Billy or whatever. Yeah. He's like, "Hey, man. Do you think anyone's going to get that we're supposed to be from Pulp Fiction?" I was like, come on. come on. The answer is, of course.
It was in 2001, of course.
There was a lame costume, though. It was just a dude who was clearly on the football team, just wore his football uniform. You see that guy?
That guy's pretty
That's
good.
That's my guy.
Well,
no costume?
That is a Chris Gavin costume right there. You just wore a shirt from home.
My favorite costume. So they go to the party, and Deckard is like, oh, man, but it's Sarah. Because like he's been messaging Sarah forever, and like she's like, you're going to watch my big show, right? He's like, yes. By the way, they're communicating via Palm Pilot in this film.
That's what that was. I kept calling it a Newton.
It's kind of a Newton, but it's like that Palm Pilot-y nonsense.
Yeah, wow, dude, that takes me back. Palm Pilot.
Palm Pilot for the Palm Pilot.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, I got to watch her thing. So he sneaks off to like the computer. He finds the... Trust a nerd to find the computer room.
Dude, when you are the guy in the computer room at the big party, oh, go.
Mickey Stern's party. This is once a year
it's
shit.
It's the party of the year.
Mm-hmm.
This couple... barges yeah. in making out
oh,
and
yeah.
like they fall over onto him and the dude's reaction is like, you big perv.
We almost fucked on that nerd.
Yeah, for being in this room before I entered it.
You're a pervert. It's an awesome exchange though because the guy's like, the fuck you doing in here? He's like, oh, I'm watching the Dangertainment serial killer thing. You want to watch it with me? And the guy's like, no. And the girl goes, oh yeah, that's cool. And he's like, oh yeah, that's cool.
Well, the guy is dressed like Archie from the Riverdale comics.
Get out of town.
Yeah, it's a fat Archie. He's a yep. big, he's a big doughy dude. He's got the freckles and he's got the big R on his sweater.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, that's it's an Archie costume.
Ah, how about that? I was just worried that this dude's Jules costume was going to get ruined. By getting fucked on.
I was waiting for this guy to wail on this nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yes.
like, you just cost him a blowy.
Yeah.
Oh, ew. Dude.
Ew.
First of all, blowy. Second
yeah,
of all.
Thank you. Let's retire that one immediately.
Well, it's 2002 in this room now. What this movie needs to do is, yes, that kid needs to run to the house.
Yes.
This kid. Okay, so what happens is this kid gets the ever-loving shit beat out of him, okay? He gets beaten by this jock.
Uh-huh.
And then he runs to the house and eggs Michael Myers to chase him, and he goes back to Mickey Stern's
oh,
party.
Oh, nice!
Right?
Because also, how fucking rad would that be? You just gave me a good idea. If Michael Myers makes his way to that party mm-hmm. and just bursts in and starts fucking going to town.
That's
exactly.
a great... Well, also, I like your idea as like a heat-seeking missile. Like, yeah. you kind of redirect yeah. it to your enemies. I love exactly. this idea.
He runs, like, past the Archie guy.
And, you know, I think we talked about it when we talked about the Jurassic Park franchise, but, like, put, you know, how we put dinosaurs, like put them into warfare, right?
Sure.
That's where they're trying to go to in Jurassic World.
That's what D'Onofrio wants.
Do it with Michael Myers. Do it with Jason Voorhees.
Yes.
Drop them into a war zone.
Absolutely. Done.
Right?
I just, now I have this image of Deckard like teasing him on, like dropping weapons
on
the
war zone. Come on.
And he's just collecting them all. He's got like a lead pipe.
There's a lot of people having sex in this house. And he's like, yeah, I know that horns you up, right? Come on. Come on. Just a couple more blocks.
Yeah, just toss down a chainsaw. Pick that one up too.
So some of the characters in the house start getting a whiff of like, this might be fake.
Yeah.
I almost called him Sean Patrick Flannery.
Which I actually thought that was like, ooh, Sean Patrick Flannery. Oh,
Sean Patrick Thomas, because he's like the chef guy. He's like, oh, do you want to see what 40-year-old whatever oregano smells like or something like that? And then he's like, oh, that's weird. This is fresh. And then he pulls like a knife out of the drawer and it's like totally clean and sharp and everything.
And even the beginning of this, when they're walking around, like they walk past this high chair and it's got chains on it. And like it's stupid, but at least, and it's all turned out to be fake. Like if that's the movie, then that's the movie. It's like, oh man, we're really learning what's happening at the Myers house.
But the fact that it's fake is so fucked up. And I think that Dangertainment is heading for another lawsuit because they're basically saying like this real life family.
Yeah.
You know, these real life parents tortured this baby by like chaining it to a high chair and chaining it in the basement.
Dangertainment's got bigger issues than that. Spoiler alert, Tyra Banks gets fucking ganked in this movie.
Off screen.
Off screen.
Don't even see it.
It's a shambles. There's no way you get
well, that's
that.
I mean, what is Busta Rhymes' exit strategy after this fucking disaster?
I think he has to acknowledge that it was a total failure and move on. Like, he's an entrepreneur. He'll find another thing.
At the end of the movie, he plays hero. Yeah, you know, he's like, that's how you have to do it. You have to just pretend that you solved the murder problem.
That's right. He'll be getting, you know, invites to conventions and shit.
The key to the city.
Buster Rhymes is not getting the key to the city.
Really? Not for Haddonfield?
I mean, I feel like if you create a dangerous situation and it goes bad.
Well, he didn't create Michael Myers.
No, but true. Yeah, I don't know. He gave him some chum in the water.
I don't know. I think he's going to go to Cleveland and sell them a monorail.
Oh, yeah, he's going to do he's going to. Okay, he's going to go to Cleveland, and then he's going to set up a new webcam house. It's like, this is where Harvey Pekar lived, guys. So fucking creepy.
Let's see if you can survive the night.
I'm still here. I'm not dead yet.
I'm just working on another book. I don't know what you guys are doing in my fucking house.
So then there's all this weird shit about there's like all these fucking basement chambers and whatnot. So musician dude and critical studies major redheaded woman go down to the basement and she just decides to turn on a dime and get down to fucking.
Yeah, she's like, I don't like you. I don't like you. I hate your guts. Hey, I'm taking my shirt off because it's a movie.
Right. She's Donna, by the way. Yeah, and I think the other dude is Jim.
They fall over a bunch of fake scary skeletons.
They don't fall over shit. A wall falls on them.
Oh, that's right.
Like, they're getting down. Like, they take off their little headsets and whatnot. And one of them is still conveniently placed so, like, the internet broadcast can see this. Again, by the way, trouble for Dangertainment. Now you're just broadcasting pornography.
Buster, I was like, cut.
Make the wall fall. Make the wall fall on
Did him. You have an adult's material fucking warning up top?
I don't think so.
It's the internet, dude. It's all pornography. Everything is secret pornography on the internet, including this show. We just said blowy earlier. So he's actually toasting with Tyra while this is happening, while they're getting down. And this is the mission. The mission of the show is to show...
Yeah, you got a bunch of horny teens in a bunch of rooms. You know, somebody's going to blow somebody.
I'm just saying, I don't think you can broadcast penetration without some kind of notification.
That'll tell you where
close-ups.
The camera is right. I'm not saying there's going to be close-ups, but the camera is right there. It's a perfect angle to film all of the fucking.
Well, no. Dangertainment clearly is going the way of Girls Gone Wild. That's after all of this. Yeah. That's where you have to go sleaze. After this. Can I tell you guys the funniest line in this for me?
Absolutely.
Amongst all the silly bullshit he's strewn around the house, one is coloring books.
Yes.
And like they're like colored all outside the lines. Yeah. And like they pick it up and the line is, this is all wrong. And they're meant it as like, oh, this is a disturbing mind at work. But I'm like, I thought they were saying, Oh, there's not colored in the lines at all. Her hair should be yellow. Her that doesn't make it. That's rainbow bright.
I thought it was going to be a thing where like Sean Patrick Thomas like looked at like the copyright on this coloring book and was like copyright 1999. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, but no, it's not. So all the stuff falls on them. He's like, oh man, these are fake corpses. I'm going to go tell somebody.
Made in fucking Taiwan is what he says.
And Donna's like, ooh, there's a weird tunnel. Let me go down it by myself. Uh-huh. And she goes and she finds rats that Michael Myers was eating, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Well, we're told from the very beginning, dude, from the first film that he ate that dog. So remember? Because like, it's the great line where Donald Pleasance is like, he got hungry.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
he's a vampire, man. It's okay. Like Lestat when he's just sucking rats. Oh, no, wait. That's Brad Pitt's character. What's his name?
Oh, gosh.
Gary.
Lestat Gary.
It's like Tomas, maybe?
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
I'm just saying it's another cinematic rat suck.
And Louis or Louie.
Louis. That's what it was. Louis.
Here's how you know that fucking Dangertainment's in deep trouble. Is because he makes this fake wall with all this fucking body parts. He saw the hole with the rats and the fucking little place where a psychopath was hanging out.
I think it's a thing where don't we see that there's like a second wall that falls over or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
Oh, that's
well, because also, and like the music guy finds like a key that they put in the floor and it opens this door that they go down. What are we? What? Just what? But I think it's a thing you're supposed to assume at this point that he's just been back living in that house for a year.
Yeah, he's just been hanging out.
He's just been hanging.
Eating rats.
Chomping on rats, coloring.
Making his way through Infinite Jest.
God, all these fucking footnotes. This is pointless as shit.
He impales this woman on a spike on a fence.
Oh, right. Yeah, Donna eats shit. The dude, the other guy there, Jim, he gets it's a good old-fashioned Jason Voorhees head crunch, I think.
Well, because this is when Jim runs into Busta Rhymes dressed as Michael Myers.
Oh, right.
And there's this really pathetic moment where he's like, and then everyone left in the house finds Busta Rhymes. Like, hey, this is all fake. This is all bullshit. He's like, yeah, look, we'll just shine it on. He's like, don't worry. We'll all make well out of this. Because of the prophets. I'm like, what prophets?
He says, this is just really dumb, this line. He's like, I've made an arrangement so that by the end of this, we all make a lot of money on the back end. Yes. I was like, the back end of this real player broadcast?
That is over with? About?
He's going to send it to the cabal of 8mm freaks.
Machine's going to buy this machine, for like a cool mill?
All the really rich people that hire Machine.
I think that's just a line for him to like get them back on track. And then afterwards, he's just going to be like, yeah, that didn't pan out.
My backer fell through.
Yeah.
But so this is when Katie Sackhoff dies. She finds actual Michael Myers and she thinks it's not. Yeah. She's like playing around with him and he cuts her head off and it rolls down the stairs.
He kicks it down the stairs and I'm like, again with the decapitations, what are we doing?
You can't have two decapitations in a movie.
No. One fell swoop.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Like he's got a guillotine for arms.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
It's a butcher knife. Even a cleaver, that would be difficult.
Yeah. And it's, what's awesome is they're watching this on the web broadcast. Now, like, Deckard has this whole huge... The computer room is filled with the entire party, and they're watching this shit go down. And, like, everybody's watching it as if it's, like, a horror movie. I wish Busta Rhymes could have seen this, because this was his dream.
Yeah.
You know, this was what Dangertainment was built
on. No, this is not what Dangertainment wants all those people to go back to separate computers.
Oh, you're totally right.
You can't be ganging up on one stream, man.
That's right.
Yeah, that's helping my numbers.
What a fucking ripoff. You're
By
totally
By the way,
you're
not allowed to play We Hate Movies. It's only one in headphones. FYI.
Oh, really?
You have headphones if you're with a buddy. That buddy's got to have headphones. That buddy's got to have headphones. Separate devices, separate streams.
And body cams.
And body cams. And separate body cams.
And we got to broadcast it on We Hate Movies. But, we got to do our own haunted house thing, right?
We should.
Right? Dangertainment right here.
It's just us talking about movies that we like.
Or we can go back to where I grew up.
Yes.
Oh, man. Came
home.
You were actually chained to a little child seat.
Yes.
Steve Silt uses a high chair when we go out to restaurants. But it's ridiculous because, like, so the head gets kicked down the stairs and everybody's like, yeah! And Deckard's like, no, I think that was real. And then the people in the house are staring at it like, is that I mean, do you think that's real? I'm like, there's a fucking head there. Come on.
But I love
Savini
it.
Couldn't even pull that off.
Nope, I can't. But what I love is he calls up the cops and he's like, there's something going on at the Myers house. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, I know it's illegal to call the cops for a hoax and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But like, I imagine it's like that old Wiggum bit where like everyone is calling the Illinois police. And it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. A woman was decapitated on TV. Gotcha. What's that?
Whatever, Mr. Jackass. I'm going to write it up on my invisible typewriter. Yeah,
officer down. Yeah.
A head was crushed on the, let me write this down, the internet. Okay, great. Whatever that is.
I just feel like if you call the cops like, yo, somebody got decapitated at this address, you have to send a unit out there. Like,
yes,
one
exactly.
Guy has to go out there and be like, hey, Busta Rhymes, the fuck is going on?
Also, it's the house that like shit happened at that one time.
Condemn the house, by the way.
Absolutely.
Do us all a favor.
Bulldoze it.
Yeah, totally, dude. Salt the earth. Yeah. Start over.
Look at a dog park.
Yeah. In memory of that dog he ate from the first movie.
Exactly. Name it after that dog.
Yep.
Oh, man. He guys just comes back. He's got like all these bags and he just shows up. Like,
you've got to be fucking kidding me.
The Puddles Memorial Dog Park. Oh, no. I have no home.
Oh, man. Yeah. Homeless Michael Myers. That would be awesome because then it's like, oh, fuck. He has no anchor anymore.
Yeah, sure.
You know, now he's just a wild man going wherever. He could go to Jersey. Then he meets up with Jason.
Or California. They should have done this first. They should have gotten rid of the house before he went to California.
That's actually true. So yeah, we're going around.
He does head crush the one kid.
Yes, he squeezes that dude's skull. I gotta say, this is another fucking black eye for Dangertainment, not for nothing, because now you're just broadcasting death videos. Yeah. Now it's just snuff. Mm-hmm. Like Busta Rhymes, I feel, you know, at the end of the day, he's like, yeah, I'm the hero, blah, 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 and he walks away. The litigation is right around the corner.
A wrongful death for any of these kids.
Wrongful death lawsuits, probably a bunch of stuff from like the town of Haddonfield themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, this dude, yeah. He's doing time.
Those contracts they signed, I'm not 100% there was a lawyer who put them out.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to be
Lionel Hutz, dude.
Yeah. You just sign them.
There's an awesome scene. You gotta
be a star, don't you?
There's an awesome scene where Busta Rhymes is walking around in the Michael Myers costume and he bumps into Michael Myers thinks that it's the cameraman and he starts dressing him down.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. And like, that should have been like, am I remembering this right? Then they just kind of like part ways.
Yes. Michael Myers is like, well, you told me, Busta Rhymes.
Totally.
It's like a duck soup moment. I think Michael Myers thinks it's a mirror. He's like, I'm yelling at myself again. Oh, boy, one of those days.
And then he walks away. I just yelled at Michael Myers. I can't believe I yelled at Michael Myers. Now I'm just walking in this creepy old house, walking around with my left foot, then my right foot again. And, oh, man, I'm going to put my left hand in my left pocket right now.
Oh, this is.
Oh, my God. It's Busta Rhymes. Oh, God, I can't say hi to him or anything. Oh, God, that would be so embarrassing.
He's
He's my favorite. He's my favorite.
There's a magical bit of filmmaking in this movie, a little filmmaking trickery, because before Katie Sackhoff is decapitated, we see that, I don't know where she produces this huge bong from.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just hotboxing Judith Meyer's bedroom. Jesus Christ, that's some morbid shit.
Busta threw that in, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's listen, if you were like, you got to stay in this haunted house, but there's like a bunch of weed there, I don't know.
I'm not getting high in a haunted house. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I need my faculties about me in case I need to do battle.
I'm not actually Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, by
well,
the way.
Well, dude, but that's at least my motivation, dude, because they always get out alive.
That's true.
So the secret, I think, is to be high as a kite.
Oh, no, Shaggy. Your motor skills were failed you, and now you're dead. Oh, no, Scoob. It was an indica. I'm sinking into the couch.
I had my fingers crossed for a sativa. My brain would get going. Oh, fuck, man.
Now
it's just a bunch of murdering for the most part.
Sean Patrick Thomas, in a special appearance, by the way, uses two knives and starts like trying to cut up Jason because he's like,
whoa.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God. Shit. Oh, my God. Is everybody okay?
Yeah, I'm
keep
glad
it in.
Keep it in.
They have to know.
I'm so
they
glad.
They have to know.
We pumped the brakes for that one. My God.
Michael Myers.
There you go.
Because they're, it's apples and fucking hand grenades with those two. They're so different. They're so different.
See what he does, everybody? Everybody listening, do you hear
it
what we go
It must be so
through.
Great in that fucking tower. Well, he's got the two knives because he's a chef.
Okay. By the way, just for that, going forward, it's a special appearance by Steven Sadak in every
yes, of course.
Every single episode in a special appearance.
Gotcha.
Okay.
The Bronx's Steven Sadak.
It's just like, yeah, he's like, he's trying to cut him up, and then Michael Myers like pins him to a door with some knives.
Yeah, just gets stabbed the old-fashioned way. God it's not another decapitation.
What's great about this, though, is he stabs him like twice to the door, and then he goes, fetches another knife out of a drawer.
Yeah.
To make sure he stays up on
right.
mounted onto this door. So he stabs him a third time,
mm-hmm.
you know, just so he doesn't fall down.
Oh, crap, is this a load-bearing body?
It's around this time.
Hey, you're a chef. What can you do for a rat? What's your rat recipes?
I've been just gnawing on them.
Raw.
It's around this time that Deckard is like, oh, maybe I should start chatting with that palm pilot.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what's going on here because, one, it's not his computer.
No.
And then, two, so is he using the Dangertainment chat? Is there a chat interface?
No, I think he's got a secret Palm Pilot that he's also texting.
I thought he was like clickety-clacking.
That's a good question.
Maybe it's like an AOL Instant Messenger and he's using it on the computer and it's sending it to her
right.
Palm Pilot.
Yeah, I think he can text from the Palm Pilot, but he's just doing that for like the stream, I guess.
I don't know, but he starts giving messages to her like he's like the eyes and ears in the house, directing her where to go.
Be more helpful.
He could be a lot more
helpful. He's not very specific, and his timing's very off.
Yeah, but also, like, I mean, how could you get the timing right? Like
that's true.
The time. First of all,
who knows what the lag?
Who knows what the stream is?
She's
like
fucking dead on the floor, and then 30 minutes later, he's behind you.
God, she's not doing what I say.
It's very odd.
Okay, I got the message to her, and her throat slit. Oh boy. Okay.
Oh, now I see the phone vibrating. Yep, that's what that was. But yeah, like she is the final girl at this point, and she's running around the house. Busta Rhymes, in one of five times he fights Michael Myers and is presumed dead. The first of five times, he finds him and like he's like, "We're gonna get out of here tonight, Sarah. Don't worry about it. Even though I've locked all the doors and I will not unlock any of the doors.
Why didn't you bring your keys with you?"
And like to Eric's point, like let's just take a fucking chair and throw it through a window. Let's just see what that looks like.
But also, what was the end game here? Because everyone involved in the show is inside the house,
yeah. Right?
So who's gonna unlock those doors? Don't tell me there's like a fucking
Tyra.
Timer. Well, no, she's in the basement. We're about to get there.
It's not the basement. It's a shed that's like on the outside. Side of the house.
Is
yeah.
it really?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not pick up on
that
at all.
Even though she is dead, they assume she is alive. And
she being Tyra Banks.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Now, when they get to that
this shed, house will not unlock until dawn strikes. Yes, now it's a fucking Saw crossover years before that first movie came out. Because why not?
I love when they find Tyra dead.
Oh, Michael, you love rats, huh? One of those rats is poisonous. The butcher knife you like is inside that dog. But which one? You have to eat all these dogs. You love eating dogs, you sick son of a bitch. I have cancer.
Yeah, we all know you have cancer.
Yeah, you got cancer. Okay.
That's cute.
When they find Tyra's body, it's brilliant because Sarah slips on all this blood. It's like a river of blood.
And river of blood!
She's strung up like the Predator got her.
Oh,
like she's just bleeding all this blood, these buckets of blood. She should have her skin removed, but she's hanging from the ceiling like a Predator trophy.
I didn't even notice that shot. Yeah. I just noticed the pool of blood on the floor, and I was like, oh, she was killed off camera.
She's killed off camera.
No, I know, but like, I didn't know you even saw her.
You do.
She's dangling. So. She doesn't even know it.
She doesn't know it. No. She's dead. She doesn't know that she's dangling. That's correct.
Busta Rhymes gives Michael Myers the first of many roundhouse kicks to the face.
We are talking Mikey Myers, by the way. He's calling him Mikey and Mike through this whole thing. Are you in a personal relationship with this guy?
Hey, Mike.
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 And then, like, Michael Myers, like, throws him through something. Yeah, Sarah goes through the other. She's, like, doing a bunch of stuff. Deckard's like, turn to your left. Turn to your left. New ammo.
Talk to this village merchant.
I think there's a power-up in the next room.
Haven't responded in a while.
Eat that mushroom in the basement. It's a one-up.
That's right. This is, though, like, when Busta Rhymes is fighting him, isn't this where Sarah puts the cord around his neck and Busta Rhymes does a jump kick and kicks him out of the window and he's, like, hung?
Oh, right, yes.
Because then this is like, oh, good, the movie's over with.
Sure.
And then he cuts the cord or whatever and gets back in the locked house.
And nobody can get out of the locked house, even though there's now a window with a Michael Myers hole through it.
There's, I think, Sarah gets on the roof at one point.
On the roof, excuse me.
Oh, roof, pardon
me. You're in
me.
Illinois.
And there's a hilarious, like, Michael Myers sticks his head out like it's a fucking Hee-Haw cameo. And she kicks him right in the face. Great face kick.
He's not that big in this movie.
No, because I don't know who this dude is. You need a professional wrestler.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's closer to the actual first shape.
Right.
George Wilbur himself.
But
R.I.P. No, I
don't know. I don't think so, actually. You're on the roof, dude. Fucking jump off.
Yes, exactly. Or, like, shimmy down the side of the house or something. It's better than whatever Michael Myers has stored for you. Yeah, a turned ankle.
Yeah, don't go back inside the House of Horrors. Just break that ankle and hobble away.
Exactly. So now we're in the shed. Sarah's alone with Michael Myers. Michael Myers is going to get her.
She pops out with a chainsaw.
That's
and I was like,
right.
I was like, wrong franchise.
And she's like, this is for Jen, who's Katie Sackhoff, and this is for Sean Patrick Thomas in a special appearance.
And then she says, yeah, she's naming some of them. And then you realize, like, she forgot the rest of the people's names that she's not friends with. Because then she just goes, and this is for all of them.
Yeah.
And this is for Julia Stiles, who's supposed to be in this role.
Better movie.
And then, like, the chainsaw kind of craps out. A spark lands on some oily rags or something. Because then, like, there's a fire that's happening.
And then from the flames, Busta Rhymes emerges.
Dude, just like a phoenix, man. Yes. He's back. And starts fighting him again. He gets pushed into his shelf again and falls down. And it's like a big fight or whatever.
This is when he says, trick or treat, motherfucker.
That's a good
and
one.
And that's, I mean, you know, if you're in the audience opening weekend for this awful movie, trick or treat, motherfucker, thunderous applause.
That gives
I
can the attest, audience a second life.
Yeah, I can attest that that actually happened.
I'm sure, yeah, of course.
And the place went apeshit. Mm-hmm. He said, trick or treat, motherfucker. That happened. And then Busta Rhymes' best move in the film, I think.
Oh, here we go.
He takes a cable and electrocutes his dick. Never before in the franchise have I seen that. Well done.
And then the whole flip mode squad shows up.
Now his penis needs a little mask. It's all burnt and shit.
Oh, your dick is burned, Michael. Welcome to my world. It's just Loomis from hell yelling up.
Nice job trying to get it up now with your scarred cock.
That's why I wore a trench coat, you asshole.
Michael, get your charred dick away from there.
Are your nipples pierced? They will be down here.
Oh, fuck, dude. Dr. Loomis is running around with Cenobites?
Yeah.
And then, like, the electrocution makes him fall back into the fire. Busta Rhymes just starts yelling burn repeatedly. Also hilarious.
Burn, motherfucker, burn. This is what I think, like, that's the thing. You get the trick-or-treat, motherfucker. Thunderous applause. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of, you got to do the old
Jerry
Lewis. Exactly.
Yep. You got to go out on a high note because he has the trick-or-treat, motherfucker. The theater goes wild. Then he's yelling burn, 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 motherfucker. And it's like, okay.
A little tepid.
And then, like, he's trying to get Sarah out of the shed. And before he goes, he's like, hey, Mikey. Happy fucking Halloween, which I feel is a thing a drunk Ninja Turtle would say.
But it's also like that's when the audience is, you lost the audience already.
Yes,
it's like,
yes.
You got the first one.
Yep.
Huge. Woo.
Yep. And it's just you overstayed your welcome, dude. The room is cold at this point. Even though it's literally on fire, the room is cold.
And by the way, go outside, get a thing of gasoline and come back.
Keep going.
Just to make sure this is all ash.
Or at least get it in an ambulance and instead of going to the morgue, straight to that crematorium.
Yes.
Call the dude, be like, fire up that fucking kiln. I got a special one to burn tonight. Toss him right in. So yeah, that it's like it's over with. It's the aftermath. The news all shows up.
The news shows up. We finally realize we're in Canada. We've been in Canada the whole time.
Oh, there's a thing right at the beginning though. There's Canada, man. But remember that dude that comes into the dorm room?
Oh, what does he say?
It's like when Katie Sackhoff's trying to sell Sarah like on the show, and this dude just some fucking creep walks in, and he's like just kind of being creepy about Michael Myers or whatever, but like. It's the most Canadian person that's ever lived. That dude bleeds maple syrup.
That guy is horrible because he's also like telling them about Michael Myers while fondling their underwear. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's sniffing panties, dude. That dude should have... I thought that guy was going to be a part of the team because I was like, you got a butcher for that panty sniff. You got to die, dude.
Well, there's your stinger. Just he rised again and killed Panty Sniffer.
But that was pretty scary in that big old house there, right?
Canadian national news. Hey.
I mean, Illinois, yeah. Oh, yeah. What is that hoser doing in there?
And they're trying to interview Sarah, and she's like,
What's that mask a boot?
She says, she just utters, thank you, Decker.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And he gets a little boner.
Yeah, it's like ping.
Turns out he was a replicant doll.
Oh fuck yeah, dude! He picks up the little origami. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, Deckard. Some men never really live. Some burn.
Then again, who does?
Yeah. Oh man.
Who are you, sir?
I'm your gym teacher, Edward James Olmos. I also, by the way, because I'm done by a bad voice actor, sound a lot like Luce Loomis.
And then, yeah, the reporter's like, oh, hey there, but can you just tell us anything about that Michael Myers fellow there? What was the deal with all that, golly gee?
Oh, boy, Rob Ford would never allow this to happen.
He's built like a hockey player.
And fucking dude Busta Rhymes is like, Michael Myers? You want to know about Michael Myers? Michael Myers is a killer shark. And he just starts going off about Michael Myers. He's like calling him a loser. Yeah. It's like, what are you doing?
And he breaks a camera because he's like, that's it. I've learned my lesson. It's like, you know what, Busta Rhymes? Just.
Got a job working for Canadian news, motherfucker.
He'd have to. Oh, he would hightail it to Canada after this one.
You have to. Dude, he is unhireable.
So they go, he
little
does
morgue
go to the
prologue.
Go to the morgue. Epilogue, my friend.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, epilogue. I'm drunk. no, but it's just a dumb, like, these are two characters we've never seen before. Yeah. And the guy's like, I got a celebrity for you. And this woman's like, whatever, it's late. And he's like, no. It's Michael Myers. Guess I'll leave you alone now. Bye. And she flips the fucking blanket down. It's like, The mask, which looks better totally charred, by the way, and melted onto this man's
also,
face.
Also, the paramedics might have tried to remove that already.
Yes. Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And like the eye opens, and that's, wow, fucking great.
That's the end of the movie.
I couldn't even believe it.
I could have used some 2001 like jams. There's no like real music in this movie. Like,
not a lot of music licenses.
Maybe some
like,
Switchfoot like, going on.
Oh, I thought you meant like a Space Odyssey or orchestral 2001 jams.
Oh, then at the end of the movie, Michael finds a monolith, turns into a baby.
Oh, fuck, Michael Myers, Star Child. I'd buy it.
Oh, we should... some Wilco, maybe.
Yeah, totally. Dude. Get some Yankee Hotel Foxtrot tracks on there.
This needs to happen. We need a movie where Michael Myers is going in somewhere to like murder this party of stoners, and they throw like a Sprite bottle of acid in his face. Yes. And then it's just like Jupiter Beyond the Infinite, and he's like murdering like himself as an old man, and like it's like fucking like what is going on,
dude? It'd be awesome. It's like it's Michael Myers. He still has the mask on, but the hair is all gray.
Is it a really nice robe for some reason?
Yes, that's a man. What a bedroom.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I'll take it.
Yeah, movie over.
I had a question.
Yeah, sure.
Because this speaks to the nadir of the early 2000s, especially for the slasher genre, for franchises. What I'm giving you a Sunday afternoon. You gotta watch something. It's Freddy versus Jason, Halloween Resurrection, or Jason X.
I would personally vote Jason X.
I will second that.
I will third that.
Freddy versus Jason, maybe.
I'm kind of leaning Freddy versus Jason-y.
Versus Jason looks better.
It does, but it's a bad. It's a bad situation, no matter what.
It's a Russian roulette, right there.
I think either case, though, yeah, it's definitely not this movie.
No. Yes.
No.
Which speaks to, would anybody recommend it?
No. There's nothing here. I mean, like, there's no... I mean, like, Katie Sackhoff went on to do good things, and that's kind of it. You know, we got a special appearance by Sean Patrick Thomas. It's an excellent use of his time. Busta Rhymes is the best part of this movie.
Yeah.
But, like, he's a spice that needs to be... It's a dash of Busta Rhymes.
Or
like,
he's in it the whole time.
Yes. It's the Busta Rhymes story.
Yes, because I can't have, like...
50-50.
10 minutes up top, and then, like, the final 40 is the Busta Rhymes show.
And you can't do the whole freaking... The prologue with... Laurie Strode.
No.
It just doesn't belong in this movie. Yeah, and no, thank you.
No. I mean, if you turn Busta into a character,
sure,
that might be something. But the fact that he's just him, it's just yes, him yeah, doing his lines and like
yeah,
acting
yelling
wild.
Motherfucker.
Oh, Professor Busta Rhymes. Yeah. I like
oh,
this
shit.
Idea.
Professor Rhymes.
I'm also a no. I would say watch We Live in Public instead.
Yes, totally.
100%.
Battlestar Galactica for Katie Sackhoff and Edward James Olmos. And of course, Blade Runner. All fine horror franchises.
You know what? Even add on Save the Last Dance. It's not that good, but you know what? It's better than this.
It's something. God damn it.
Julia
it's
Stiles is there. She's awesome.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend it. I would say save your time this week and go see the new David Gordon Green Halloween because it's awesome.
Yeah, man.
And that is Halloween Resurrection, and I fucking totally recast my vote. This is the worst Halloween movie. So someone make a little asterisk on the fan wiki. I changed my position. This is the worst movie.
I flipped the last two too as well.
Oh,
really? Oh, wait, I don't know if amendments happen, dude.
Exactly. We are in court. Listen, we can leave it to the fans who moderate that shit to decide on their own. This is being recorded Wednesday, October the 10th, 2018. This is a declaration.
Flip floppers.
Hey. If they want me to live with more shame, I've done it before. Yeah.
Just here's you want to talk about my legislation. You can't fucking hold a fucking position.
See, this is the dangerous part about adding an amendment to the show is because then Steve's going to quickly like staple on his fucking crazy legislation, and then we're going to have the floor vote. And that's going to get passed
you're
by
right,
you guys wanting to do this amendment.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's just how the government of podcasting works.
I read the whole Christmas tree bill. I know all the little parts that
oh,
are going
really?
Into it.
You,
yes.
You read?
Yes.
There's too much fucking pork on this bill, man. That is Halloween Resurrection from 2002, directed by Rick Rosenthal. If you want more We Hate Movies, head on over to patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Tons of bonus stuff there. Star Trek shows, cartoon shows, bonus apps, commentaries, the whole bag.
Bonus episodes on Van Helsing. There's going to be a bonus commentary on Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake. That was a lot of fun.
Totally. So go check all that stuff out, or you know, find us over on the HeadGum Network as well. Rate and review wherever you download your podcast. That would be greatly appreciated. The Halloween Spectacular rolls on. One more week?
Two more weeks.
My goodness gracious. A blessed 5-week October. I love it. Steve Sadak, what's coming up next week?
Oh, we are going to the WB staple of actors with Urban Legend.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Oh, dude, I rewatched it recently. It's stupid fun.
It's a lot of fun.
It's also very Williamson-y.
Yes. I think he might have wrote that, or maybe it's
did he?
Maybe it's something so. To do with it. We'll find out next week when I actually do research.
There you go. So until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Special appearance by Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin, without the ego.
Yeah. Eric Siska, surprised that Steve does research.
Take it easy.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes, that is better.
The zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in!
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What's the fucking
lotion in the bag? What an excellent day for an exorcism.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.